Yeah, it's lovely to be with you guys this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Yanku. I'm one of the elders here at Gospel Central Church. Let me get my timer going. Thank you for the worship team again. The worship time was such a sweet time. I really, really enjoyed it. Really felt like some of the words came out during prayer meeting this morning was that we do need a bit of endurance as a people. Some of us, the year is 3 weeks in and we're tired, and I can relate to that. I can definitely relate to that. And so we're talking about, if you're new here, we've been talking about entering the promises of God, the promised land as a church, as individuals. We've been talking about that, and that's like it's nice. It's a big goal to work towards, but the reality is that, and this came out during prayer meeting, that in the day-to-day, we actually need endurance though. For us to enter that which is ahead of us, practically, just day-to-day, we need to just obey the Lord. And it's not always that easy. So the time of worship, I felt God. It was nice for me to stand at the back, not to watch you guys, but to just be encouraged myself by the Lord in worship, and to realize that I can really be joyful even though life is not always as easy as you'd want it, or things don't go the way you please. So like I said, we've been speaking about entering the promised land, and this week as we're discussing it at community, I realized what a problem might be for a lot of us is that it can be a bit of a vague picture, you know, like we like to see things, like we want to know exactly what it's going to look like, right? If you guys are like me, you want to be able to have a picture in your head of what the promised land will look like. And it's great, this story in Joshua, but we want to know what it's going to look like, right? And we spoke about, okay, it's rest, or it's our inheritance, or it's fruitfulness, but what does that actually look like for us? And so we spoke about, we need to have this vision in our heart that we're going somewhere, but we don't always know what it looks like. And so this morning I want to answer that question, what is my calling? What is my gifting? And I've been for many years against that phrase, because I'll explain now why I don't really always like that phrase. But we need to actually be able to find what that is. And so this morning I want to be real practical with us. I want to give us some handles and just how to figure out What is my part in the body? It's that simple. Okay, so it's going to be quite practical, I'm hoping, this morning. And I think the one thing that we need to know before I jump into this is that church is not a man of God or a guy that's professional in the front, yeah, doing everything. The days of those things are gone, eh? It never really was biblical. Church is a place where each person has a part to play. And maybe my part is a little bit more on the mic. Maybe my part is a little bit more in front. Fine, you know, someone probably needs to do that or to organize the systems. But actually, the fullness of the church is not the leader. I might just be drawing the boundaries. And you guys need to color it in. Okay, so we need to start by knowing that, all right? It's not a profession. Like, church is not a bunch of professionals. But it's a family together seeking God. All right, so let's start with that question. So what is my calling? It's a good question. If you're asking that question, it means you're hungry. It means you're searching, all right? So what is my calling? Have you guys ever wondered that? What is my gifting? What is my calling? Have you guys had that desire? Like I had years ago, I was like, I would pray that regularly, asking God, show me what is my calling. And it's a good question, but I think sometimes it's actually not the best question. And let me explain why. Sometimes. Reason number one is sometimes that statement can be a little bit too individualistic, meaning, I want to know what is my calling. Well, God, what can I do for you? Lord, what is my ministry? And maybe God has a calling for you, and maybe he does have gifts, and maybe there is a ministry for you, but it's actually not the individual thing. He advances his kingdom through the church, all right? His vehicle through which he advances his kingdom is the church. And just like any other vehicle, maybe you came in a vehicle here this morning, maybe your feet were your vehicle, but even in your feet, that structure, it's made up of different parts working together, and then the vehicle reaches its place. Now imagine in your car that you drove here, or the car that you drove in, or however you came here this morning, if each part said, I've got a gifting, I'm special, and so I'm going to do my thing, and not working actually with one another, in submission to one another, in relation to one another. And so is it true that we have a gifting and a calling from God? 100%. But it's not a thing that we do independent from the body. We actually find our gifting in relation to one another, and our gifting is for one another. And so, as we jump into that question, what is my calling, what is my gifting? We need to know that it's not as individualistic as we always think. All right, so I know Zambian culture might not be that individualistic, you might say, but the reality is, I think for many of us, and we see it in churches, Apostle so-and-so with his prophetic ministry. Ministry is international usually. Right? Sometimes the ministry can become about us, and we need to watch out for that. And then secondly, why that question, what is my calling? Sometimes where it can go skew is that when you think about our calling, we see it as a destination rather than a journey of following Jesus every day. So I want to say this as we jump into what is my calling. It's not a place. It's not a position, but it's following a person. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Because what happens is if we see our calling as this one thing that one day I'm going to attain to, like one day when I'm all grown up and mature in the Lord, I'm going to walk into my calling. Then with that comes the fear of what if I miss it? Or the doubts of am I really going down the right track? Well, actually all along, it was never a destination or a position that you had to reach. But it was a journey of following the person of Jesus just day by day. And then you'll see, you'll probably stumble into your calling and your gifting quite accidentally as you follow him day by day. Does it make sense? Okay, so I just wanted to break for a moment, break down sometimes the misconceptions of that question, what is my calling? That we realize it's part of the body. It's not really just about us. And it's not just the destination. So, if you don't know this morning what is your gifting and your calling, I want to reassure you and say, that's fine. All right? That's normal. If you don't know exactly what this promised land, the more that God has for you, if you don't know what that looks like, be reassured that Israel did also actually not know exactly what it would look like. You guys know that? That desire in us to know exactly what it's going to look like, I don't think that's from God actually. That's maybe us wanting to control a little bit. We need to have the desire, the vision in our heart that God has got more for me. Yeah, we need that. But we probably won't know exactly what it looks like. If you look at the disciples, God had more for them, eh? He said, go and make disciples of all nations. This big commission. But I don't think they knew they were going to plant a church 50 days later. I don't think the disciples knew they were planting a church 50 days later. And so you don't always know exactly what it is going to look like. But we do need to know he's got more for us. We do need to know there's a land of milk and honey for each one of us. All right? And that milk and honey is not a physical prosperity on this side of eternity necessarily. But it is, our treasure is knowing Jesus, right? The fullness, the riches on this side of eternity is primarily, who's our treasure? It's Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. And it's then also being able, having the privilege to ready his bride for his coming. That's where true riches are found actually. And so when you're speaking about the promised land and the milk and the honey, we get to know Jesus and we get to have an inheritance in the saints. We get to love one another because that's really what matters to the Lord. So if you don't know what exactly God has called you to, I want you to know that is fine. All that you need to have is a burning desire that God has got more for me. And then secondly, and this is what I'm going to focus on this morning, is we need to an extent, we need to know how do I walk into it. You don't have to know what it is. You don't have to know exactly what your calling or your gifting is always or in detail. But you do need to know how do I walk into it. All right. And so this morning, I want to climb into that. Okay. Yes, please. Oh, sorry, man. Usually it's my wife, but she's coming to the second meeting. But I can assure you guys, she's not sleeping. She's praying for me or something. I'm not recording this, actually, so it works out well. So, an analogy... An analogy I always use when we ask the question, how do I know whether I'm in God's will for my life, is the analogy of our GPS that we use when we're driving somewhere. You guys know your GPS on your phone? That Google Maps? So that thing tells you whether you're on the right track, right? And when we ask the question, am I still on the right track, it actually works a lot like a GPS. So I don't know if you guys know exactly how a GPS, how on earth it knows where you are. It's a little bit scary, eh? It's a bit weird that it knows exactly where your house is. Thanks so much. Thanks.
That's how your wife gets attention. Where on earth are we?
So, when you look at the makings of a GPS and how it actually works, it uses something called triangulation. So just stick with you for a moment. How a GPS works is it gets a signal from at least three satellites. It needs at least three satellites out there in space to know exactly if it is on the right spot. Three is like the minimum to give you a 2D idea of where you are on Earth. Does it make sense? On a map, if you want a 2D idea of where you are, you need at least three satellites. You need four satellites. You need another one, fourth one, if you want to know your altitude, so how you might be. And the fourth one really makes it properly accurate. But actually, the more satellites you have with which you can bounce signal back and forth, the more accurate your GPS location will be. So it's actually much more than four that your phone is speaking to in any given point in time. And it's actually exactly like that when we're trying to figure out, am I on the right track in my life? Am I within the will of God? We've got three key points, actually, that we refer back to, a minimum of three. So we also do triangulation as a Christian. We've got three things we feed back to primarily. It's the Word, it's the Spirit inside of us, and it's the body around us. And those are the three basics that we can always triangulate. Am I still in the will of God? Am I still in the will of God? All right? So it's the Word of God, it's the Spirit, the conviction inside of us, and it's the body around us. And this morning I want to climb deeply, or just break down practically, not just am I in the will of God, but in terms of my calling, in terms of my gifting, am I walking in the will of God? And so I want to look at seven possible satellite points that we can just touch around us. And I'm not going to go that deeply into all seven, don't worry. But just so that we can know, am I still on the right track in terms of walking into my calling and my gifting? All right, so if you've got seven and they're all lining up, then you know you are in the will of God. So I hope this helps you guys. Okay. How do I find my calling? How do I find my gifting? Point number one is this, and it's very simple. Just follow Jesus, and you will stumble into your calling. Just follow Jesus. So, in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. So I don't know if you guys have actually seen the scripture in this light, but it says, then you will know. It says, well, then you will know and test. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so we need to look at the previous two lines and just let's dig in and see. These are requirements actually for us to be able to discern, am I in God's will or not? So what are the requirements for us to be able to discern the will of God for our lives? It says this. Let's read again from verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your true worship. So before we can start trying to figure out God's will for our lives, this scripture says, offer all of yourself fully to God. So surrender fully to Jesus. And then verse 2, it says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that points to, we cannot actually expect to figure out God's will for our lives if we're still thinking like the world and we're not actively renewing our minds, letting God dictate the way we think about topics. So for example, if you want to know, should I take this job or not? Am I in God's will when I take this job or not? If you haven't been, up until that point, renewing your mind, thinking about work, the way God thinks about work, practically you're going to struggle to figure out God's plan for your life. You're going to struggle to hear His voice in that moment. And so before we ask that question, am I in God's will? Am I walking in my calling? There's two requirements according to the scripture. Surrender fully, and allow God to renew your mind so that you think His way. And so from the scripture we can see that, how do I know what my calling is? How do I know if I'm walking in God's will? We need to actually surrender fully and follow Jesus in every area of our lives. And then we'll be able to discern what God's will is for our lives. Going to the book of Joshua, because we've been busy with that the past month or so, the past 3 weeks, if we look at the book of Joshua and how the Israelites entered the promised land, it's actually interesting to note that every step of the way, they had instructions from God that they had to follow. So they didn't enter it their own way. Every step of the way, if you read throughout Joshua, there's instructions, and then they do it. There's instructions, and then they do it. And what do we learn from that? When we are entering the promises of God, when we want to walk in the calling, when we want to walk in His will for us, it's about step by step following the Lord, and then you'll enter into the promised land. So to use a case study, let's look at how they entered Jericho, for example. You guys know the big city of Jericho with the big walls that fell down? So it's a well-known story. So in Joshua 6, verse 2 to 5, I want to read us the detailed instructions God gave them. So in Joshua 6, verse 2, it says this. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Now here's the instructions. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with a priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." And then they did it like that, and they took over the city. But have you guys ever, in a tactics book for winning a war or a battle, seen this thing? And you see how detailed it is. You have to blow a ram's horn, 7 priests walking in front. There's these small details, and it might seem so random. But often when we look at the story of Jericho, we think, or we can deduce from the story, we can gather from the story that you know what will defeat my enemies in life? Worship. It must be worship, because look, they shouted and praised the Lord and the walls fell. And so what I'm getting from this passage is worship brings the walls down. But you know what? It might be true, but the next battle, what brought the walls down? Or what gave them victory? It wasn't worship. It was another very specific strategy. And so actually when we read through the book of Joshua, what gives us victory is following the instructions of the Lord, the detailed instructions of the Lord. In this story, did worship give them victory? Yeah, in this scenario. But more than that, they were able to follow the Lord's instructions. They were able to simply follow Jesus. They simply had to follow Jesus. There's no other method than following Jesus. So this morning, if you've got a burning desire to enter into the more that God has for you, we need to learn like John rightly felt this morning before the prayer meeting. We need to learn our day-to-day to follow the Lord just well. How do I follow His instructions day-to-day? I look at that story and I wonder, what happened if they walked 7 times around the city a day earlier than they should have? What if they put 8 priests in front of the ark instead of 7? I wonder if that walls would have fell. I'll leave that with you guys. Practically, are we obeying the Lord's word in the day to day? Are we obeying the conviction of our hearts? Are we keeping our conscience clean just in the day to day? And if we can do that right, faithful in the day to day, we'll walk into the promises of God. Okay, that's point one. And leads us into our second one. Often we're asking God and waiting on God, "Lord, show me my calling. Give me the gifts that you've planned for me." And actually, all along, He's given us His word with a whole bunch of commands to obey. But what we often do is we go sit in our room and wait on God and say, "Lord, show me my calling. And I'll step out. Show me what my gifting is and I'll do it." And He's given us a whole book of instructions with commands that we can do. And you don't have to go pray about it again. You can just do it. That's the cool thing with Scripture. You don't have to be very smart to hear God's voice when it comes to the Word of God. So for example, if you were to read 1 Thessalonians 4, it says this. "This is the will of God for your life, .. your sanctification." In the next chapter it says, "This is the will of God for your life, that you be thankful in every circumstance." Do you want to know what the will of God is for your life, your calling, your gifting? Be thankful in every circumstance. Allow God to purify you and sanctify you. In Matthew 28, He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He says, "Love one another." And so in some way, when we are waiting on God to show us what our big calling is, simply start obeying what He's already given us. Start making disciples, left and right, around you. Who can I disciple? Who can I encourage today? Like Gordon rightly felt this morning, who can I encourage today? And if you do that, you'll fall into your calling. You'll fall into your gifting. But we need to start obeying the black and white scripture before we sit down and wait for God to show us our calling. Does it make sense? So I had a friend He's one of the elders now in Cape Town in the church where I was. He was a crazy guy. Like, he made me quite scared to go out with him on the streets. Because he would pray for healing for anyone and everyone, and he would share the gospel with everyone. He would walk into a school, he would stand on a table and shout on the playgrounds, "Come stand in my shadow and you'll receive your healing." And guys got healed. It was incredible to see the way God used him, and it's incredible to see his faith. And he used to have this saying, "If you want to feel led before you step out, put a pencil in your pocket. Feel the tip of the pencil. Now you felt led. So step out." So when it comes to the word of God, when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to praying for someone, don't wait until you feel led. Yes. Put a pencil in your pocket and share the gospel or pray for someone. Does it make sense? You guys know there's led in the... Okay. Okay, it starts by obeying scripture. Point three, how do we know what God's calling and gifting is for our life? We need to step out and try. We need to actually just start trying things. Now, this is the one I think we struggle with a lot. We need to actually step out and try things. The reality of God's character is that he is gentle. He doesn't force us. If we look at the command in the beginning of Joshua, like, take courage, be bold, don't be afraid. Would God have had to say that if he was going to do everything? No, he knows there's something from our side that we need to step out the boat and then we'll walk on water. And so when it comes to finding our giftings and our calling and what God has for us, it starts by just trying and sometimes failing. So, yeah, my background before I came to Zambia was as a coach and in the sports industry. And what they always taught us is it's very important when you're coaching people, when you're coaching athletes, is to never reward success, but to reward effort. If you reward success, the lazy ones that are very talented will never learn how to work hard. And those that don't succeed will stop immediately because you reward success. But if you as a parent or as a coach can learn how to reward effort and attitude, then you'll have a people that knows how to work hard. You'll have a people that's not afraid to try and fail because you're rewarding not success, but actually effort. And I want to say that's the way we want to be in this church. We're not a bunch of professionals that reward success in Gospel Central. We're not rewarding success. We reward effort. We reward attitude. We reward those, well, not reward, but we want to say well done to those who tried their very best to pray during prayer meeting. Yes, man, well done. So for us, it's about stepping out and actually just trying. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, Paul is speaking to Timothy and he says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Okay, so from this we see that it is actually possible to have a gift and to not use it. You guys know that you can have a gift and you just not use it. You're able to neglect it. And what that implies is that we can have a gift, but then we need to choose to practice it. Do you guys see how that's clear in that scripture? You have a gift, but don't you go and neglect it now. Remember to step out with your gift. All right, so there's a stepping out required. And then in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, this is a second letter Paul writes a few years later. He's writing to the same guy and he needs to say the same thing to him. And he says this, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands." So Paul needs to a second time tell the same guy, fan it into flame. You know when you have this little coal and you're trying to make fire and this coal is just about to die, but if you blow on it or if you like fan it a bit, it sparks up again. That's actually the picture of what we need to do with our gifts. It's clear that God actually won't do everything when it comes to us walking into our calling, but he says to us, fan it into flame. Try your best. It requires a bit of It requires a bit of effort from our side and just trying. This morning, I realized this stepping out and trying is as simple as maybe during worship to just step out of the aisle. And I realized, I was standing at the back and I realized that this morning. Because of the pews and where you're standing near worship, if you're standing like somewhere in the middle during worship and you feel a word, hey, I don't know even if I would come forward. You have to walk like, you can't actually get, you have to walk all the way around. And so it's actually so helpful to position ourselves in a place of, I'm going to step out of the aisle today. I'm stepping out. And that might be difficult for you to not stand behind a chair. But when you say, what is my calling? What is my gifting? I want to walk in it. It starts by today I'm going to step outside of my chair during worship so that I'm in a position where I can more easily, if I feel something from God, just go and share it with the elder in front. Yeah. It's that simple when it comes to stepping out so that we can walk into our giftings. Or like in the prayer meeting today, I realized if you're standing in the second or third layer of our prayer meeting, there's a smaller chance you'll pray. But if you're close, it's just as though you want to grab your Bible and read something. And so stepping out so that we can walk into our calling is as simple as positioning ourselves just in the circle during prayer meeting and not standing at the back. Because if you stand there, I don't know if the Holy Spirit speaks softer if you stand there. Like, not quite, but it's something else when we're stepping out and positioning ourselves well. It's not true. He doesn't speak softer. But I want to say, if you desire to walk in prophecy, now that might be a big word for you. It might be like, oh, I need to predict the future. Which is not New Testament prophecy, by the way. It's not what it is. But, you know, we're not there today. If you want to walk in prophecy, you're going to have to try. Put yourself in a position where you're praying for someone. Let's say next time at community, you're praying for someone because it's their birthday. And they're in the middle of the huddle. Everyone's laying hands on top. Firstly, position yourself in the huddle, not at the back. Because you can hear God probably. You've got more faith to hear God when you're close. Yeah. Right? And then ask God, as the prayer starts, Lord, here I am. Give me a word for Sarah. Give me a word. You've positioned yourself in a place, and you've said, Lord, give me a word. And then you'll actually, and then when you feel something, and it's just like you're not sure, you check it with Scripture, no, it's biblical, go for it. Pray it over that person in faith. Yeah. That's how you start prophesying. It needs to be you're going to step out and sometimes fail. And the believers will tell you if you missed it a little bit. And we're a family. We love one another. But you guys get that?
Yes.
We're not a bunch of professionals. At some point, we're going to have to step out. If you want the gift of healing when you pray for people, at some point, you're going to have to start praying for people without knowing whether they're going to get healed or not. But you're going to have to start laying hands on people and be fine maybe if someone don't get healed, because it's worth it when someone does get healed and you grow in it. Yeah, so it's going to take a stepping out. And I want to ask us this morning, do you desire the more of God? Then ask yourself, what can I do from today just to position myself to step out a bit more? And God rewards faith, eh? Yeah, and then the fourth one, how do we know what our gifting and our calling is? As we found that in the previous scripture in Timothy, by the laying on of hands and by prophecy, our gifting is sometimes revealed. So this is a very practical one, and you don't have to have had that for you to know what your gifting and your calling is. But we do see it in the case of Timothy. Paul says, the elders laid hands on you and prophesied over you and used that gift. And so that's often a way actually how we know what God has called us to, is through the prophetic. God might speak to us. Like for me, for example, just as an example, not all the areas that I'm kind of like trying to practice the giftings or I'm doing something for God, not all of them I've got a prophecy on. But with worship, for example, someone did come up to me one day, like a few months after I felt God speak to me about it, come up to me, lay hands on me, and say, I feel God wants to impart worship into your life. It was one of the elders. And the same happened with regards to shepherding. I was in first year at university, and someone came to me, and one of the elders, and said, I feel the Lord wants to impart a shepherding heart for you. And so sometimes through prophecy, through the laying on of hands, we know what our gifting and our calling is. And so if you have received prophecies, don't despise them. We don't follow prophecies, we follow Jesus.
Yeah.
All right? Big difference. We don't follow our prophecies, we follow Jesus. We'll fall into that prophecy. But that's one of the ways. Okay. Number five. We might know what God has called us to simply through the desires He's placed on our hearts. That sounds very unspiritual. But simply look at the passions and the burdens and the desires in your heart. And that might be actually what God has called you to. Psalm 37. I'm going to read verse 3 to 5, just so there's context for that verse 4 we know so well. So from verse 3, Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. So it says in verse 4, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So that scripture in isolation doesn't say He'll just give you your desires. Whatever you desire, He'll give it. It says if you take delight in the Lord, if you trust in the Lord, What happens when we take delight in God is we take delight in all of Him. We take delight in His commandments. We take delight in His ways. And our heart starts to look like His heart. And very readily we'll find He starts giving things to us that are actually on our heart. But it's because our heart is beating in the same tune as God's heart, or in the same rhythm as God's heart. So sometimes look at the passion God placed in your heart. And He's saying, that's what I've given you, my son, my daughter. Step out in what you're passionate about. I probably need to say here, just before we move on, that be careful to just follow your heart, okay? Scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things, yeah. All right? So the unregenerated heart, the heart that's not been made new, is deceitful above all things. But at the same time, Scripture also says that guard your heart because from it flows the springs of life. Okay, so your heart could be very life-giving or not so much. Make sure you take delight in the Lord, and make sure this one, this follow your heart one, is one of the three or four triangulations or ways. Don't just follow your heart in isolation. All right. The sixth one is others will recognize your gifts. This is a big one. This is probably one of the most important ways that we know what we're called to. So when we have a gift or a calling from God, He equips us for it. If He gives you a calling, He won't leave you without the tools for it, right? He'll equip you. God doesn't call the equipped, but He equips the called. Have you guys heard that? Yeah. Hey? God doesn't call the equipped. He equips you when He calls you. He'll equip you if He called you. All right. And if He equips you, that grace will actually be evident and visible by those around you in the body. For example, if you believe you've been called to be a worship leader, and you get up and you sing incredibly off tune, the body will realize whether there is a grace. I see John is doing some things here. The body will tell you whether you have the grace or not. All right. It's very simple. Compared to when you stand up and you sing and it's just like, oh, it feels like I'm in the throne room of God. The body will tell you whether you have the grace or not. So if you want to claim I've got the gift of healing, I'm going to ask you, show me your track record when you pray for healing. And if you don't have a track record of healing, I'm going to submit to you lovingly that maybe you don't, well, maybe you just need to fan it into flame. But you can't just claim I have this gift. There comes a grace with it that is just evidence. The body will recognize the gifting on you. When you stand up to prophesy or just share a word and there's weight to it, the body will realize over time when Gordon stands up, I think he's prophetic because when he speaks, there's a weight to it. He's pinpoint accurate. And you can actually measure that. All right. So the body will recognize your giftings and grace on your life. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you're in a community or if you're not, maybe ask those around you. Hey guys, when I walk into a room or when I'm in church, what do I bring? What do you guys see in me? What's my... And they might say, yes man, the one thing you do is you make tea so well. And maybe you've got a gift of hospitality or serving. Because if someone with hospitality makes your tea, it just tastes better than when I make it. And so maybe feel free to ask those around you, what do you think is my gifting? Especially ask your husband or your wife or... Ask them, what do you think is my gifting? They should be able to have spotted it long ago. And trust them more than you trust your own idea of your gifting. Trust them, because the body will recognize it better than you. Your heart might be deceiving you. And the last one. The last one of the seven is this. Simply join the body of Christ. And when you've joined it, you fill the needs that you see, and you follow your leaders in that space. So let me explain that. Like I said, our gifting, our calling is not in isolation. We actually need to be joined. And so maybe as long as you're keeping others at arm's length away from yourself, because sometimes we do that. We keep kind of the church at bay, and we keep people at arm's length, but at the same time we're saying like, God, give me more. I want to walk in my giftings. You can't do that both at the same time. You find your gifting in relation to the body, and it's for the body. And so when you draw near, when you draw close, you'll suddenly realize, oh, that's where I fit in. Because imagine if a nose wasn't part of a body and it was lying there on a remote island. It would have no idea that it fits into a bigger picture of smelling, right? Yeah. Does it make sense? Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So, just a quick story from my life. When I felt... So at around about the age of 13, I felt like a stirring or calling on my heart for more than just South Africa where I was, but I felt like God started speaking to me about the continent of Africa. And I was 13 years old. And I got very excited, and I didn't want to go study at university. So after school, I went and did missions work, and I was very excited, and God had given me this big calling, and I was on my way, but it really was about me and being a big man of God. And this, I really had a bit of that in me. I had a lot of selfish ambition, but I was going to be the next man of God. And so I was doing my missions work, and during my missions work overseas, I felt God say to come back to the place where I was born, the town Stellenbosch, and join a local church there. And it was very difficult for me, but I joined a local church. And there, as I joined the church, I felt the Lord say, you need to stay here. And at one point, I felt him say, you need to stay here until your leaders send you somewhere. And why he said that to me is because I always wanted to run after my own calling. And I thought I was very gifted. And I realized I had no idea how to submit. I had no idea how to work in relation to others.
Sure.
And I actually didn't realize it, but I didn't truly love people. I love the idea of ministry more than I love these people. And so he told me to stay put. And I told my leaders this. It was difficult, but I told my leaders, I will serve you in this church until I die unless you feel to send me where you want to send me, which did happen. That is how I ended up here. I didn't decide to come here. My leaders felt, Janko, we feel you need to go. The desire was in my heart as well. And so as I was in Stellenbosch, I wasn't allowed to go on outreach. I felt I needed to stay. And I wouldn't say that's for everyone, but for me, I needed to learn how to stay. It was the opposite maybe for others. And as I stayed there, the Lord started doing a deep work of like intimacy, and it was beautiful. I started getting to know him in a special way, but at some point I started asking God, Lord, this is great, but how can I love you more? Like, I need to do something. How can I love you, Lord? And he gave me this scripture in John 21 one morning. He gave me this scripture. My question is, Lord, I want to love you more. And he says this, John 21 verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus again said a third time, feed my sheep. And what the Lord said to me through that is, it's not about my gifting and my calling. It's not about what special superpower do I have. Sometimes we need to forget about those things and start loving those around us. Yeah. Simply start loving the body around us, and you'll fall into your gifting and your calling. You'll quickly find that the way that you express that love is through your gift. And so I had to forget about the giftings and the callings and learn how to just love his sheep. And so my last one under this heading of joining the body is simply fill the need that you are seeing. For example, when Uncle Marnie walks around on this property, if the guys that work for Gospel Center will know, he sees anything that is like 1 degree skew. I've heard it's actually quite difficult to work for Uncle Marnie in terms of a practical building. Because anything needs to be perfectly straight. You know why? Because that's the gift God has given him. And so he'll just see it absolutely everywhere. And so I want to ask us this morning, what needs do you always see in churches? I actually want to ask you this question. And bear with me. Where do you get critical of this church? Because that's probably your gifting. So hear me, yeah? Where do you get critical of churches or Christians? Do you feel like this church is not evangelizing enough? You know who will always see that? Someone who's got an evangelical heart. He's going to walk into every church and feel they're not evangelizing enough until he finds someone that does a lot of it. But where do you get critical when you look at church?
Sure.
Where do you feel like we're not doing enough? Because that's probably your gifting.
Yeah.
So I want to say it's actually that simple. Where do you see the need in our midst? That's probably what God has placed in you to fill. All right, so if you see a need, don't just go tell others about it and murmur. Maybe you need to step up and fill that space. Yeah, does that make sense? Okay, so that was the seven just things that we can see. Yeah, triangulate is the word for it, to see whether we are in God's will and whether we are walking in our giftings and our callings. Yeah, good. So I want to throw it back to you guys.